Have a copy of the Word of God, if you'd take it and turn with me, please. We'll look together at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 is where we'll look tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it is truly an honor to be here and to have the privilege to preach the Word of God. And I'm thankful for your friendships. So many of you are interested in our ministry and have contacted us and asked us about how things are going on. Of course, my wife grew up here. I started attending Faith Baptist in Avon. I think I was about 18 or 19. I'm 33 now, so I attended for a little while. But my wife has been around here since she was 4 years old, I think, or maybe younger than that. I don't know. But her mother got to lead her to the Lord and was saved here under this ministry. And we were married here at Faith Baptist in Avon 14 years ago in June. It'll be 14 years. And so anyhow, this is certainly the church that we call home. And several of you were in our wedding and present for our wedding. And I know I look young, but I really looked young then. I mean, and so I'm surprised some of you even let us get up here and get married. We looked, you know, we were 18 and 19 when we got married, and we looked like we were about 10 and 11 when we got married. And so we're thankful for your prayers, thankful for your love, and indeed we feel like we've grown up around this ministry. And some of you have already commented that not only have I grown up, but I've grown out. And I have gained a little bit of weight, that's for sure. But I'm thankful for your friendship and your love. And I'm going to preach on an interesting maybe title. I hope it's a help to you tonight. But I talked about growing up here. My wife grew up here. And the title of my message tonight will be simple, and that is the idea of growing up. And we need to grow up. You know, there are a lot of things that we can do to cease or hinder spiritual growth. There's very few things that we can do to cease or hinder physical growth. And I do like burgers more than I like basketball nowadays. And so I'm definitely growing maybe the wrong way. There's not a lot you can do to stop physical growth, but there's a lot you can do to stop spiritual growth. I'd like you to look at the Word of God with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We'll look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." It says in verse number 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" We'll stop there and have a word of prayer together, may we? Father, we're thankful for who you are. We're thankful, Father, that you indeed are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're thankful, Father, that though from men we don't know sometimes what to expect, we're thankful, Father, that indeed you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, thank you that you never change. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Father, that though the grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth, the word of our God shall stand forever. So, Father, as we endeavor to preach and teach your word during this time, we pray, Father, that it would go forth with power. I pray that it would go forth with boldness. I pray, dear God, that you'd hide me behind the cross, that I would not be seen and heard, but that Christ would be seen and heard through me. Father, we pray that you'd have the preeminence here in this place. Father, I pray that I would decrease so that you would increase. Father, we want what you want. Father, thank you for these dear people. Thank you for their love for me and their friendship. But, Father, even more, thank you for their love for you. And so, Father, I pray as we look into your word, I pray that you'll challenge us, that you'll convict us. Father, even that you'd rebuke us. Father, for those of us that need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost rebuke, I pray, dear God, that you'd minister that. Father, for those of us that just need encouragement, I pray, God, you'd minister that. And so do what only you can do. Do what I cannot. Father, we'll be sure to praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be familiar with the history of the church at Corinth. I won't spend much time talking about it, but No doubt a town that many of us would say our country is much like maybe the church at Corinth. You understand maybe the moral depravity in Corinth, and understand maybe that Corinth at this time was a place where instead of the church house was impacting the city, it was more the city was influencing the church house. Among the believers there at Corinth, there was a very carnal crowd. And so we find open sin in the city there of Corinth. And so the believers were being influenced in large part by their culture around them. And Paul, who had taught them much, listen please, the great apostle Paul, who had taught them much concerning the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, honestly was disappointed with where they were spiritually. If I could, I'll have one of my sons. I have three little boys. They're right here. Matthew's on the end. Matthew, if you'd come up here for just a minute. Matthew just loves it when Daddy does stuff like this, I'm sure. Matthew, if you'll stand right there, please. Matthew, tell him how old you are. He's 6 years old, and Matthew is a good little boy. Aren't you, Matthew? Are you a good little boy? Yeah, Matthew loves to sing. And my boys, my oldest son, Mark, feels called to preach. It's very precious to hear him say that. He's very public about that. It's certainly not something we have forced necessarily on our children. But Mark, at Testimony of Praise time at our church on Sunday nights, will invite the congregation to praise the Lord. And often he'll throw in there that he's thankful that he's called to preach. And Matthew loves to sing. That's his thing to do. He loves to sing. The two of them were in the car just yesterday talking about Mark feeling called to preach. They're in the back seat. Mom and I were driving and not paying much attention. And Mark said something like, "When I'm a preacher, I'm going to need a song leader." And he looked over at Matthew, and Matthew likes to lead singing. And so he said, "Matthew, will you be my song leader?" And Matthew is smart. He's only six, but he's smart. His first question was, "Well, how much does it pay?" That's what he said. And then Mark's pretty smart too. You know, he's only nine, but he's pretty smart. And he said something like, "Well, how much do you need or how much do you want?" You know, he didn't give a dollar figure. He said, "How much does it take to do it?" And Matthew responded, "Well, about $100 a year," is what he said. So he's willing to serve the Lord. But, you know, there is nothing we can do, really, to stop physical growth from Matthew. But there's a lot that can be done in our lives, spiritually speaking, that hinder our growth. And, you know, it's interesting, as you study this passage, Paul considers his audience. He is speaking to them. He wants to speak to them as if they've grown more spiritually, but he cannot. He has to speak to them on a lower level. You know, it would do no good for me to ask my son Matthew his opinions on maybe the trichotomy versus the bichotomy of man. Matty, what do you think about that? Oh, he has no opinions. Spiritually, you know, as far as that particular doctrine or opinion, he doesn't have too many opinions. But he does have opinions, you know, about food and things. Do you like food like your daddy? Yes, I like food. What's your favorite restaurant? Ciudad Colonial. That's a Mexican restaurant. And all God's people said, if you like Mexican, only about half of you, not even half of you like Mexican. Matthew, thank you. You can sit down. Spiritually speaking, you know, there is a lot we can do to hinder spiritual growth. And there was a problem here concerning spiritual growth. He says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak." It says, I think he's leaving the church. I made him mad. He says, "He could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but he spoke to them as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." Hey, listen, some of them maybe had been saved for quite a duration of time. Here's what I've seen in Muncie, Indiana, and it probably exists in this church too, is I've seen some people that would say, "Now, preacher, I've been saved for a long time. I mean, I got saved way back this many years ago, this many decades ago. And you don't understand, Pastor Johnson, I've been saved for maybe more than years than you've been alive. I've been saved a long time." Well, let me just challenge you with this thought. Just because somebody's been saved for a long time doesn't mean that they've grown spiritually. I want us to consider several things tonight. First of all, we'll consider fruits for carnal Christians or fruits of babes in Christ. I want you to take a little test and figure out if you're still a babe in Christ, maybe a carnal Christian. Now remember who he's writing to. He's writing to Christian people. I believe on a Sunday night in Faith Baptist Church in Avon, many folks in this house would say, "Hey, preacher, I know I'm saved." Well, let me ask you, where are you spiritually speaking? Are you, may have a wealth of Bible knowledge. I've seen a lot of people who have a whole lot of pride over all the knowledge that they have biblically. That doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. If you believe that, would you say amen? Yeah, it's really true. Spiritual maturity does not equal a wealth of Bible knowledge. That's a true thought. Where are we spiritually? Some fruits of babes in Christ we find in this passage. Secondly, we'll consider the fact that some choose to stay babes in Christ. And then thirdly, we find the command for growth in the Word of God. Here's a test, I think. Consider, first of all, the fruits of a babe in Christ or a carnal Christian. We find them in verse number 3 of our passage. The Bible says this, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you," listen to these words, "envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Envying, strife, and divisions. Now, reality TV is popular in the United States of America, and it is popular because people like the drama often on television. They tune in, and here's what they see. They see envying, they see strife, and they see divisions. And so people tune in and they record those shows and they fill their mind with those kinds of shows, and then they wonder why they're seeing those same things exhibited in their own lives. Then they wonder why their home is full of turmoil and chaos. Then they wonder why their children maybe go wayward, or their relationship with their spouse isn't what God intended it to be. It's really because they never grew up spiritually. Now, they prayed a prayer and they meant the prayer and they believe that they're saved, and really only you and God know if you're saved. You know, Christian people today, listen and get this, Christian people today are very, very good at faking spiritual maturity. I mean, we know how to talk the talk and to make ourselves look very mature and godly. And if you've been in a Baptist church very long, you know the vernacular of a Baptist church. Just because you can talk the talk doesn't mean that in your heart you're really walking the walk. Let me ask you about these fruits, envying. Envying. I've seen it in our ministry. Our school has grown, and we're very thankful to truly be one of the fastest growing schools in the state of Indiana. Many of you saw our church commercial and commented already that you watched that Phipps Gospel sing and saw that. We're thankful for the growth of our church, our staff now, our church and school together. We have 12 staff people, and we're thankful for them co-laboring in ministry with us there to meet the needs of those in Delaware County. However, I have watched envying unfold among even Christian staff members. I mean envying. I mean sometimes bitter, frustrating moments there in Christian ministry. I mean full-time, you know, most of them graduated from Bible college. I mean, they've got a wealth of Bible knowledge. They have heard better preaching than they'll ever hear from me. They've been taught in Bible college classes things that should have equipped them and should have perfected them or matured them. And yet, there's a lot of envying. I've found it's a very dangerous thing to ever thank God publicly for somebody in the church congregation, you know. I've learned that quickly. I've only been there 4.5 years at Temple Baptist Church, but I have quickly learned that's probably not a good idea. Because as soon as I do that, somebody else in the crowd says, "Well, you know, I did something similar, and he didn't talk about me from the pulpit." And they're envying in their heart. And all of a sudden, they start to develop a little animosity in their heart towards that person. That person didn't do anything to them. But the pastor bragged on them just a little bit and how God used them. And so after all, you know, maybe he likes them better than he likes me. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're refereeing this envying that's going on. Those are marks of spiritually immature people. Fruits of babes in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, look at yourself and figure out, has there been some envying in you? I've seen parents do that sometimes, you know. They want attention from their kids, maybe, and they don't want the attention to be diverted to the other spouse. And after all, they don't even like their spouse. And after all, they're frustrated. Their marriage isn't what it should be. I've seen parents, you know, act like politicians trying to win the vote of their household among their children. I've seen that, like the dad's the Republican and the mom's the Democrat, you know. And you children better like me. After all, your father's not a good man. And after all, your mother doesn't do this and doesn't do that. And there's just envying in the home. Now, I'm thankful that I'm saved. And if you know what it means to be saved, you ought to be thankful that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But listen, the idea of occupy till I come does not mean just sit around and do nothing. It means to grow up. Spiritually speaking, I mean, it's clearly a Bible command to grow up spiritually. We'll consider that in a moment. A fruit of a babe in Christ is envying. Another fruit of being an immature or a carnal Christian we find in our passage is this idea of strife. Strife. Again, people tune into television just to watch the latest tidbit of strife. And soap operas are common in society because they want to watch all that strife. I'm learning more and more in ministry and in our home. I want to be somebody that is putting out fires, not starting those fires, you know. Being a fire extinguisher, not a fire starter. And sometimes in our homes, we'll say the thing that makes what could have been extinguished, we'll say some statement that makes it a whole lot worse than it has to be. Strife. Are you adding to the strife of your home, or are you taking away from it? Let me ask you this. Listen to get this. Are you adding to the strife in the local Bible preaching church? Or are you just a faithful co-laborer who's a Philippians 1:27 Christian, striving together for the faith of the gospel? Sometimes we're more negative. We're more full of strife. You see, also a fruit of a babe in Christ is this thing of divisions. It says that in our passage there towards the end of verse number 3. It's listing, whereas there is among you envying and strife and then divisions. You ever come in contact with people and they're always criticizing somebody else and why they left there and why they left their husband or they left their church or they left this situation or that scenario? Now, please understand, get this now. I know there are some times biblically where God has directed good people to head different directions, to divide, so to speak. You find that in Scripture. There's biblical examples of that. But you know what happens when you biblically divide is, if you do it in a Christ-centered way, there are going to be fruits that are specific to a godly separation or a godly division. I recently sent an email to a fella, and I explained some of that. And some fruits that occur when some... See, what happens is a lot of times a husband will leave his wife, or a wife will leave her husband, or some people will get mad at a church, and they'll leave that church. And what they'll do is they'll take every opportunity they have, every opportunity to criticize that spouse, or to mock that preacher, and to point out to all kinds of people all the things that he did wrong. Hey, listen, there's no way that that could be a mature, godly, Christ-centered division if it's centered on criticism. God's not in criticism. God's not in all that negativity and that gossip. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs there are some things that God hates. Now, I know in a politically correct society that we're not supposed to talk about things that are negative. But last time I checked, the world works on both a positive and a negative. I'm not an electrician, but I am aware that these lights both work on a positive and a negative, electric wires. And somebody says, "Preacher, there's some things that God hates. That's negative." I know new evangelical circles say you only should preach on love and preach on the positive things. But the fact of the matter is, God hates a proud look, and God hates a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And what else does it say? It also says feet that are swift to mischief. It talks about those that sow discord among the brethren. If you're sowing discord about your spouse or some old church or on and on, listen, God's not in something like that. And we need to be careful that when we are separating ourselves, that we're doing it in a Christ-honoring way and that God truly is leading. Again, I sent an email to a fella, and I said in that email, is he looking for Matthew? Is that what he's doing? Oh, it might be Matt. that there's some fruits that are biblical, that are accurate. And so we see here some fruits of babes in Christ, okay? Their carnality there, the church at Corinth, was indicative of their immaturity. You figure it out in your heart. You figure it out in your heart. If you're honest before the Lord, are you a carnal Christian? Are you an immature Christian? If you want to figure out if you're an immature Christian, look at your levels of carnality. Paul implied that these believers should be much further than they were spiritually. He should be able to talk to them as mature Christian people, and yet he could not. I want you to consider number two with me, please. Some choose to stay babes in Christ. You hear a message like this and you say, "Yeah, preacher, the test, envying and strife and division, sure. My life has some of those things in it, but you know what? I'm fine with that." And so you find in Scripture that some people just choose to stay babes in Christ. I think of Diotrephes. In 3 John chapter 1, verse number 9, you find that name Diotrephes. And I don't know too much about him, but I do know the Bible says this. It says, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." It's my conviction, my thought, that Diotrephes, though he was involved in the church, and I believe he was probably one of the redeemed, chose to stay a babe in Christ or a carnal Christian. I think of Samson. And most of us know the story of Samson and Delilah. And Samson could have accomplished great things for God, and yet he chose to stay a carnal type of a Christian or a babe in Christ. I think of Peter in the Bible. And Peter was one who did great things for God. As you study his life, there's no doubt about it. And yet Peter was, early on in his life, it seemed that he would grow spiritually and then backtrack, and then grow a little bit more, and then he would backtrack a little bit, and then finally got serious with God, and God used him to accomplish much. You read about Acts chapter 2 and what God used him to accomplish. But where are we spiritually speaking concerning our growth? I love that song. There's a lady at our church that sings the song, "He's Still Working on Me." I know it's a little kid's song, but she'll come up and she'll sing, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. But she'll sing, "He's Still Working on Me." And I hope all of us in this house would say, "I've got more growing to do." And I'm not talking about physical growing, I'm talking about spiritual growing. And if there's a person in this house that would say, "You know, I don't need this message, and I am spiritually speaking where I need to be," then I'm just telling you, you ain't, okay? If that's really your mentality, you're not where you need to be, and you're far from it. There are those that choose to just stay carnal Christians, that just choose to stay babes in Christ, and indeed they're saved, they believe they're saved, but they don't want anything more from their Christian life. Thirdly, I want you to consider with me, please, the command for growth. There is a command in the Word of God for growth. Take your Bible and turn over to 2 Peter. Probably a familiar passage to many of you. I want you to see it, though, if you would. 2 Peter chapter number 3. We'll look in verse number 18. 2 Peter 3, verse number 18. The Bible says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It says, "To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." You see in this passage of Scripture the command for growth. Again, right at the beginning of verse 18, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Some of you, again, maybe say, "Preacher, I don't need this message. I've already arrived. After all, I'm a soul winner. And after all, I'm a bus captain. And after all, I faithfully tithe. And Pastor Johnson, I don't need this message concerning growth." And the truth of the matter is, He is still working on me. And everybody needs to have that mindset that says, "I need to grow some more." I want to give you some tangible biblical instruction here concerning the command of growth. Turn back just a little bit to 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want you to see these couple verses here. Verse number 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings," by the way, more fruits of carnal Christians or babes in Christ. I think we could adequately say these are some fruits, or these are some indicators of people maybe that aren't desiring the sincere milk of the Word. They're not growing like they should. If your life is full of envyings and evil speakings, maybe you're still a babe in Christ. It says in verse number 2, the Bible here says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." It says in verse 3, "If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." It was 1988 when I asked the Lord Jesus to save my soul. It was 1988, the month of June there. I was in a park, and my mother led me to the Lord. My sisters were playing on a playground. I got to take my boys back there to, I grew up in Minneapolis under Pastor Monty's ministry, and grew up there and got saved at the park just outside of Minneapolis, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Maybe it was Brooklyn Center there, Orchard Lane Park. It was that day that I tasted that the Lord is gracious. And if you know what it means to be saved, you need to rejoice tonight that you're saved. But we need to understand the command for growth. And we need to develop a desire. Listen and get this. Ask the Lord to, within you, develop a desire for the truth of God's Word. It says in verse 2, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word." Don't desire just the compilation of biblical facts, but desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby. Three simple thoughts by way of conclusion here concerning how we can develop this desire. The first thought I want to give you is that we need to eliminate sin from our lives. Look at verse number 1 of this 1 Peter chapter 2. It lists some things. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speaking. Hey, you and I, we will not start growing in Christ until we eliminate sin from our lives. Until we get serious about our sin. Until we say, hey, I don't want this envying in my life. And I don't want this evil speaking. And I don't want my life to be known as the one who was always gossiping on Facebook. Or who was always spreading discord among the brethren. You and I, we won't grow spiritually until we acknowledge the sin in our lives. And look to eliminate that sin from our lives. We need to develop a desire for the truth of God's word. How can I do that? First way I can have that sincere desire the sincere milk of the word. That's a reference to the truth of the word of God, is to eliminate sin. One of the reasons that people don't grow spiritually is because they want to hold on to their sin. God doesn't bless me when I keep sin in the corridors of my heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Most of us know those verses in Philippians. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hey, you won't know the love of God in the way that you could know the love of God until you start to say, I need to eliminate some sin in my life. I need to acknowledge that there are things in my life that are clearly hindering my relationship with God. And so I need to eliminate those things. Once we identify some of those things, we'll start to grow. How can I develop a desire for the truth of the Word of God? Not only eliminate sin, but we find in verse number 2, we need to admit our need for God's truth. Notice that phrase, as newborn babes. As newborn babes. If we'll recognize where we are spiritually and stop having a facade of spiritual significance and importance and thinking of ourselves more highly than we are, if we recognize that we're but babes still in Christ, we'll have a chance to enjoy that peace that comes with mature Christian living. I relate to Peter. I think there were times when Peter was right with the Lord and growing in Christ, and then spiritually speaking, seemingly, he hindered his own spiritual growth. Let me tell you this. Listen, I found this in my life. I can grow as fast as I want to grow spiritually. But I can also grow as slow as I'm going to grow. I mean, if I yield myself to the teaching of the Word of God and I yield myself to the sweet Holy Spirit of God, well, I can grow. And many times we want to keep that sin in our lives and we don't want to admit that we really are still babes in Christ. The third thing we can do that we find in our passage here concerning developing a desire for the truth of the Word of God is survey our blessings. We see in verse number 3, the Bible says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. At Thanksgiving time, many of us took time to survey our blessings. I hope you did. I hope you turned off the football maybe for just a few minutes. And the one game was pretty close. The other game's not so much. But you turned that off and you maybe stopped eating all that turkey. Maybe you had some ham. I don't know. And you stopped all that and you just took a few minutes, hopefully on Thanksgiving Day, to survey some of your blessings. To thank the Lord for how good He's been to you. And somebody says, preacher, I want to develop that desire. I want that desire for the sincere milk of the Word, that desire for biblical truth. You need to remember that the Lord is gracious. I heard somebody say recently something like, boy, God's sure good. God's sure good. How many of you believe that? Would you say amen? Amen. God's good. And somebody kind of criticized them for saying that. Thought that was interesting. They criticize them for saying that because, you know, well, people say that all the time, you know. That's just kind of commonplace. Can't you come up with something better to say? Kind of silly to say that. We know God's good. Kind of a negative spirit. Hey, if you understand the graciousness of God, boy, you'll think often how good God is. God's been good to me. I have seen direct answers to prayer at Temple Baptist Church and Temple Christian Academy. I mean, financially, we've been in pickles. I mean, some pickles. And it has been very uncomfortable. I remember about 3 weeks ago, we had a week and we knew it was coming, that it was going to be very tight financially. Our school bills are due on the 10th, and Sundays, there's always offerings on Sundays. And after the Sunday offering came and it wasn't anywhere near the 10th, we looked at the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday and the Thursday, and each day knowing that certain expenses there were going to hit our bank account and not knowing how God was going to provide. You know, when you're a part of a revitalizing effort, our church 4 years ago, we had 19 people in our church auditorium, and we asked the Lord to allow us to be a part of revitalizing that. There's not always money in the bank, and you have to do things by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so that Monday came, and we needed a certain amount of money to come in, and whether it be people that hadn't paid their school bills or some miracle in the mail or however God was going to provide. Sometimes our church has, there's a fellow in our church who does thrift type things, and he'll take some stuff we've got and go try to sell it, whatever it takes, you know. And so we're praying, and we had a certain amount that needed to come in on Monday. And sure enough, that Monday we were praying for a very specific amount, and by about $20, God met that need. And then we thought, thank you, Lord. Now what about Tuesday? And we started praying about Tuesday. And sure enough, again, it was $18 or $20. God met that specific need. And I'm talking each day, we're praying in hundreds of dollars. Sometimes that Wednesday is a time when payroll taxes are taken out of our church account. And so Wednesday's not hundreds, it's thousands. And it's around $1,000 usually when that comes. And so we're praying in that money literally. And again on that Wednesday, the Lord met the need by about $18 or $20. Now somebody says, preacher, whoo, $18 or $20, that's not a lot of money. To me, that's a lot of money. That's exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. I'm just saying, when you have really needed God to meet your need, and you've petitioned Him, and you've begged Him, and you've done, and Warren Wiersbe said this, you pray like everything depends on God, but you work like everything depends on you. And when you've worked and you've prayed and you've done all that you know how to do and God meets the need, when somebody says God's good, you probably rejoice in your heart. Many folks I know in our church, and I'm sure in this church, have struggled with very serious medical maladies, very serious medical conditions. And boy, it's been neat to see God minister to people. And God's will be accomplished through people's lives. And the testimony of God's graciousness is marvelous. If you'll stop and think about it for just a minute, if you'll survey your blessings, God's been very good to you. God's been very good to me. I'm so thankful I live in the United States of America. Just right there, God's been good to me. I'm so thankful that I have the freedom to read the Word of God and to apply it to my life and to raise my children according to the tenets of Scripture, to endeavor to be the godly husband that the Bible says I should be. We've been blessed as a people, there's no doubt. I'll sum it up with just this simple thought. Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter, that same verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Remember, we looked at the command for growth. It says, but grow in grace and in knowledge. God doesn't want us to be stunted spiritually in our growth. He wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and I want you to pay close attention to these words, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To me, I think this is a terrific definition of spiritual maturity. Somebody says, preacher, I want to be spiritually mature. I don't want to continue to be a babe in Christ. I don't want to have all that envying and that evil speaking and that strife and those divisions in my life. No longer do I want that. Instead, preacher, I want to be spiritually mature, on the upward road, growing in God. How can I do that? I think if we'll adopt this mantra, if we'll adopt this verse, if we'll say everything I do as a husband, everything I do as a pastor, everything I do as a father or maybe as a grandfather, everything I do, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When we get that in every corridor of our heart, we'll find ourselves growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I'd like you to say that verse out loud with me, please. Maybe you have it memorized. If you've still got your Bible open, you can look there. I'd like us to say it out loud together if we could. Just that phrase in verse number 18. Let's say it. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together if we could, every head bowed and every eye closed. As you're bowing your heads and your hearts, I want to say this. It is very difficult, maybe impossible, to stop physical growth, but it is very easy to stop spiritual growth. Are you growing spiritually? Father, thank you for these dear people. I do pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. I pray that you'll use it in spite of me. Father, I pray if there's one here who's not sure that they're saved, that today would be that day, before it's eternally too late, that they put their faith and trust in you. Father, that they would taste the graciousness of our Lord. You've been so good to us. Thank you for this dear place and these dear people. Thank you for this song service already, the preaching of your word. I pray that you'll bless this invitation. We love you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.